brought to you by Penguin.
After the Quake by Haruki Murakami, read by Rupert Degas, Teresa Gallagher, and Adam Sims.
5 straight days she spent in front of the television, staring at crumbled banks and hospitals, whole blocks of stores in flames, severed rail lines and expressways. She never said a word. Sunk deep in the cushions of the sofa, her mouth clamped shut, she wouldn't answer when Komura spoke to her. She wouldn't shake her head or nod. Komura could not be sure the sound of his voice was even getting through to her. Komura's wife came from way up north in Yamagata, and as far as he knew, she had no friends or relatives who could have been hurt in Kobe. Yet she stayed rooted in front of the television from morning to night. In his presence, at least, she ate nothing and drank nothing and never went to the toilet. Aside from an occasional flick of the remote control to change the channel, she hardly moved a muscle. Komura would make his own toast and coffee and head off to work. When he came home in the evening, he'd fix himself a snack with whatever he found in the refrigerator and eat alone. She'd still be glaring at the late news when he dropped off to sleep. A stone wall of silence surrounded her. Komura gave up trying to break through. When he came home from work that Sunday, the 6th day, his wife had disappeared. Komura was a salesman at one of the oldest hi-fi equipment specialty stores in Tokyo's Akihabara electronics town. He handled top-of-the-range stuff and earned a sizable commission whenever he made a sale. Most of his clients were doctors, wealthy independent businessmen, and rich provincials. He'd been doing this for 8 years and had a decent income right from the start. The economy was healthy, property prices were rising, and Japan was overflowing with money. People's wallets were bursting with 10,000 yen notes, and everyone was dying to spend them. The most expensive items were the first to sell out. Komura was tall and slim and a stylish dresser. He was good with people. In his bachelor days, he had dated a lot of women, but after getting married at 26, he found that his desire for sexual adventures simply and mysteriously vanished. He hadn't slept with any woman but his wife during the 5 years of their marriage. Not that the opportunity had never presented itself, but he had lost all interest in fleeting affairs and one-night stands. He much preferred to come home early, have a relaxed meal with his wife, talk to her for a while on the sofa, then go to bed and make love. This was everything he wanted. Komura's friends and colleagues were puzzled by his marriage. Alongside him, with his clean, classic good looks, his wife could not have seemed more ordinary. She was short, with thick arms, and she had a dull, even stolid appearance. And it wasn't just physical. There was nothing attractive about her personality either. She rarely spoke and always wore a sullen expression. Still, though he did not quite understand why, Komura always felt his tension dissipate when he and his wife were together under one roof. It was the only time he could truly relax. He slept well with her, undisturbed by the strange dreams that had troubled him in the past. His erections were hard, his sex life was warm. He no longer had to worry about death or venereal disease or the vastness of the universe. His wife, on the other hand, disliked Tokyo's crowds and longed for Yamagata. She missed her parents and her 2 elder sisters, and she would go home to see them whenever she felt the need. Her parents operated a successful inn, which kept them financially comfortable. Her father was crazy about his youngest daughter and happily paid her return fares. Several times, Komura had come home from work to find his wife gone and a note on the kitchen table telling him that she was visiting her parents for a while. He never objected. He just waited for her to come back, and she always did, after a week or 10 days, in a good mood. But the letter his wife left for him when she vanished 5 days after the earthquake was different. "I am never coming back," she had written, then went on to explain, simply but clearly, why she no longer wanted to live with him. "The problem is that you never give me anything," she wrote. "Or to put it more precisely, you have nothing inside you that you can give me. You are good and kind and handsome, but living with you..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?